Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 143, part 1, The Truth Causes Battles. Today is Friday, April 16th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. There you're going to find show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janina@pastorpaul.org. You will also find scripture links there at the blog. So be sure to join us for both parts on Friday, part one, and on Sunday, part two of Pastor Paul's messages. This is the lineup for the month of April. Our first message, a heavenly rest involves decision. The truth causes battles. Beware the snare. And a profit and loss statement. There you have it, the month of April. Enjoy the podcast. We'll see you back here each week. God bless you.
And today's message is entitled, Truth Causes Battles. Truth causes battles. And today, the Holy Spirit helping me, I will minister from Exodus 17 and 19. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out. It's a physical thing now. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And I start getting ready for this, and I turned over to Psalm 119, 25 through 32, and I thought, you know, this sort of fits in. It shows us that the word of the Lord arouses prayer. In verses 25 through, I think, 29, listen to it. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. The only time that you're quickened is when you read the word of God. The only time you really read the Word of God is when you're under persecution, when you're under trial, when you're under attack. Then you seek it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and you eat it. You hunger after it. Verse 26, I have declared my ways, thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. And so under all this pressure, he sought the Lord, and in seeking the Lord, he knew that he had heard him, because he got a witness in his spirit. Teach me now thy statutes. Now he says, I'm ready, so just teach me what you want me to do. Verse 27, make me to understand thy way of thy precepts. And you know, a lot of times there's the Word of God, but to learn the Word of God, especially for your particular ministry, doesn't always the same with everybody. Listen now. So shall I talk of thy word. Let's go through the whole verse here. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works in 27. Are you hearing it? And if I pick you out to look at you, it's because you're a good listener. And then going on in verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. A lot of times in my ministry, my soul is melting because it's heavy. Because it has a work to do, you know that you've heard from the Lord, and it just seems like you're under a lot of trial. Now listen. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. And there again, you have to, for your strength, go to the Word of God. It's the only place you're going to get any strength to go on. I'm not talking about the words from people. Not talking about the words from some prearranged thing or something someone else went through. I'm talking about the Word of God for you. And then he says something that was really interesting to me. Remove from me the way of lying. And I thought to myself, how much truth do I really tell? Let God be true, every man a liar, the Word of God says. Remove from me the way of lying. See, you can, just be scriptural and everything and tell a lie. How are you today? Oh, great, I'm on top of it, I'm blessed. And whew, what a lie. And grant me thy law graciously. Give me the word graciously. I need grace. Give it to me in abundance, because I need it now. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Now, a lot of times to tell the truth is kind of revealing, isn't it? Well, we can preach the truth, but I'm talking about telling the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you, God. He will help you if you will tell the truth. So now we're getting down to telling the truth. All right? Thy judgments have I laid before me. Now, I've laid out the Word of God there, and I want to go by this, and this is going to happen if this happens, and so on like that. But Lord, help me to tell the truth. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I'm going to stick with the job that you gave me. Oh, Lord, put me not to shame. Don't shame me in this thing that I am doing with all of my heart and all the best is within me. And I know you listening out there on the radio, your preachers are going through it. Just admit it. People out there are going through it. Just admit it. And tell the truth. And you know what? Oh, and Friday night's message will give me so much peace. You know why? Because I found that heavenly rest that remains. Now that, a lot of times, all that remains is a heavenly rest. And when you find that heavenly rest, glory to God, you can rest in what you're doing. You can rest on those testimonies. In verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. And listen, this is really good. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. Sometimes we're trying to cram a lot of things into our heart. It hasn't been enlarged yet. It is not a larger room yet. And so we're not ready for that more abundant grace that comes along with the more abundant trials. And I had someone call me the other day. He said, "Oh, Arlene, if you don't mind me sharing." And she says, "You know, I told you I was going to come in here." We talk back and forth. But she started, and I says, "No, Arlene, just say you changed your mind." "And didn't you get free after you said, 'Yes, I just changed my mind'? Didn't you get totally free?" And so we can come on with all of these kind of excuses and things like that, and they're really kind of little lies, aren't they? I think we need to help each other out and say, "Hey, tell the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you won't have to come to work. I changed my mind." You don't mind me sharing that, because she's working all of the time, but she changed her mind yesterday. And that's really what it's all about, is that you got to tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. But then when you deal with the truth, a lot of times you don't look too spiritual, don't you see? You don't line up. I'm not looking to line up with popular opinion. I want to line up with what God shows me. And what he shows you. And one thing we have to do, Lord's sakes, tell the truth. Verse 32, I'll say it again, listen. "I will run the way of thy commandments." He isn't walking now, he's running. "When thou shalt enlarge my heart." Now he's got a heart to run for God. Now he's running. Now he's in the race. And I believe this from the very concept of my ministry. It's all been tribulation, whether of body or mind. I think that's the surest source of help. To be in a siege of tribulation, to be acquainted with grief and with sorrows, so that it gets you going. Now, sometimes you can sit down in your sorrow and just, you know, weep your eyes out, be of no good whatsoever. But the truth of the matter is that you're going to have those things, and I think that is the surest source of our help, whether it be in body or whether it be in mind. And so Psalm 119, 25 through 32 showed me that God was using the alphabetical letter D. D for the, let's say, things of depression. In the spirit of devotion, in the spirit of determination, and in the spirit of dependence. So we got the D's going. See, we seek the truth when we're under pressure. When things start closing in, well, you start looking for a way. And then you look out, you say, "Well, there is a way that seemeth right to man. The end therein is death." While you're seeking all these scriptures and all this word and all this grace of God is coming to you in a flood, and you're backed into this corner and you get into the D's, the things of depression and the determination and the devotion and the dependence upon God, and we start to seek him like you've never sought him before. But many times we're not truthful when it comes to making a decision. We kind of hide, walk around the corner. We don't want to make a decision. We don't want to tell the truth of the matter. We have a hard time making a decision. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you want the rest of God, it's going to have a decision. It's a decision-making thing to have the rest of God. I decide to go to the rest that remains. There's nothing else. And so I'm going to go over here where the rest of God remains. I need the rest of God. Well, that's not popular, is it? We halt between then two opinions, and we don't want to make a resolve to any. We want to halt in between two opinions. You end up in a no heavenly rest situation. A no way out situation. And we live a lie in the truth, trying to keep truth pure. Listen, the truth does not need help by us telling lies to keep it pure. The truth is pure. Needs no help. And so a lot of times we'll tell a lie to keep... That'll offend the truth. No, the truth says tell the truth. You can't offend the truth. Those that love my word will not be offended. And so we go on with these little snide lyings. And we never really get to the meat of the matter. We never really get to the truth. And I think that's what's wrong in the Christianity right now today. People will not tell the truth because they think it will hurt the truth. And the truth will always stand. And so they go around miserable, wretched and poor, and hypocritical. Do you ever feel like a hypocrite? Oh, God, I do. The only one you tell the truth, and the truth sets you free. So busy living a lie and covering ourselves up outwardly that we become hypocrites. Miserably inward, really. We're just miserable on the inside. Laughing outwardly, crying on the inside. Isn't that the way the song goes? Laughing on the outside, crying on the inside. Honey, I'm in love with you. Well, that's what human love will bring you a little time, isn't it? Come on, say amen. Just be honest. My God, say it. Right? Put your hands up if I hit a nerve there. Hit the truth. Praise God. And some that didn't hang to have their hands up were lifting their foot a little bit underneath the chair. Now maybe this is too much truth. I don't know. But I have to preach what God gives me, see? But David, I went back up into verse 21, said like this. He cries out against pride. But then down in verse 29, he cried out against lying. I thought, boy, those are twins. One and the same. Because don't you see, pride is the biggest lie ever was. And so you see, we must choose. There has to be a decision and there has to be a choice. Verse 30 says like this. I have chosen the way of truth. Okay, now you're on the way of truth. And once you get on the way of truth, you have to tell the whole truth. What a dilemma. I mean, here's all these other spiritual giants walking alongside you here, and you decided to walk the way of truth. You have to walk the way of truth. You have to say, hey, this isn't right. You know it in your hearts. It isn't right to be preaching like this. You're not telling the truth. You're praising God, but your praises are empty because there's no work along with it. You're doing all these things that look good. They appear good outwardly, but inwardly, it's dried up old bones and rust, crud. And so you get yourself into sort of an unpopular way telling the truth. You are unpopular. Ministering the grace of God and the forgiveness of God eternally is not popular because people don't want to believe that. And so are you really walking in a hard place? Well, truth came. Jesus Christ, all truth, incarnate truth. Total truth came. And what did they do to him? Why, they yelled out, crucify him. They said he was the devil. It was too much truth. And the people were getting too free, and all the religious freaks of the time said, hey, this is too much truth, because it was hitting them. They're saying, ooh, man, I know, they didn't know what to say. But I have chosen the way of truth. And so David hated the way of lying, and so he chose the way of truth. And if you read from David, you'll see he tells the truth all the time, doesn't he? For the most part. I mean, you have to choose one way or the other. Well, a lot of times you'll tell someone, well, the truth of the matter is... God tells the truth about man, doesn't he? Should God lie? Is he a man that he should lie? No. He tells the truth. You are wicked and nasty, and I have decided to save you. And I have decided to change you. I want you to be more truthful with me. So if I show you something about yourself, it's revealed, and then I can set you free in that thing. But see, we'd rather quote scriptures like we're God, and that we have none of those faults. And so we never really get healed. We end up, and the world even sees it, and they say, what a bunch of hypocrites. What a bunch of wimps. And they're always trying to be delivered, and they're never going to be delivered because they never tell the truth, and they just say, I'm being delivered. Well, then be delivered. And recognize that you're being delivered daily by the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the more truth that you walk into, the more freedom you have, and the more heavenly rest you have, because you're walking in. And I'll tell you, there's a great amount of light, and it'll show your garments aren't all that pure, and you have to change them every day. And that's just God working on you, and he says, hey, this is the way it's going to be. No, you have to choose one way or another, because there can be no neutrality in this thing, none whatsoever. You must choose it. You must then continue to choose it, or you'll wander away from it. I believe those whom God has chosen in due time, will choose His way. I'll never forget. I was seeking God for a word. And he said, discipline yourself, follow me one step at a time. And I got it in my, it got into my inner ear. And it kept going on and on in my inner ear, inner ear, inner ear, inner ear, inner ear, until I believed it. Discipline yourself, have good conduct, and follow me one step at a time. And so, preachers, if you're listening to me on the radio, my God, be honest. And let us answer all the seducers of what God has shown you. And say like this, I have chosen, and what I have chosen, I have chosen. I like that. I have chosen, and what I have chosen, I have chosen. And that's the end of it. I have made a choice in my ministry, I believe since its very conception, to do the will of God in service and tell the truth by preaching the gospel, and my God, by being realistic. By telling the truth as best as I can. And you know what? It hasn't been an easy road. It's been a very lonesome road at times. Because you're called a nincompoop, don't you see? You're not spiritual enough because you're not getting into all that prosperity and hyper faith and all of this junk. And nobody gets free, and everybody's bound up, and they all have no rest because they haven't dealt with a real problem, you see, telling the truth. How many are hearing this today? And you know, this is not a condemning message. This is a message about me. To set you free, and especially to you listening on the radio, and don't turn it off. Stop chewing on them pretzels and Pepsi and put your shoes on and comb your hair and get busy for God. It's almost 1:45. You know, thinking back to my dad, I remember he was the one that told me, he said, hey, you tell the truth, you know? You tell the lies. You tell the lies, you don't tell the truth. You can't put them together. It won't mix. He never even cracked a Bible. He got saved before I did, but he never cracked a Bible. You say lies. You don't tell the truth, you can't mix it too, you know? You're some kind of dummy? Don't say lies to me. But it's lonesome sometimes, telling the truth. Because, you know, on that road, there's none of the hyper-faith, there's none of the claiming people, there's none of the, you know what I'm talking about, the, you should take and institutionalize a lot of folks, I'll tell you right now. It's a sickness. But I have a heavenly rest that has remained with me through the whole of this battle. It's been with me, a heavenly rest. I didn't know what it was until I got into that message and I thought, a heavenly rest remains. You can have it in the middle of all the turmoil and have to have strife and turmoil and persecution and all that to get you going. Seek the Word of God so that you can hear what God has to say to you. He'll bend down to hear you whimpering and crying. He'll come into your prayer closet. But you have that rest that remains. We need all to pray, O Lord, by your grace, lead us with a hearty free will, a hearty free will. Not just, well, I will to do it. A hearty free will. Lord, I want to do your will. Okay, now you asked for it. To choose to do thy will. So that, Lord, your eternal choice of us bring forth the end which it designs. And Lord, give me a hearty free will to do your will so that what you're designed before the foundation of the world was even founded, particularly in my life, will be fulfilled in my lifetime through you. And so today, let's lift up our arms. Lift up your arms while you're on the mountain. When you're on them mountaintops, but then again, draw your sword when you're in the valleys. You got to have them both. Are you hearing this? And so I hope today to show you in some practical way how Moses had to fight for the truth. We are in a battle. Truth causes battle. Haven't people always been looking for the truth? They live for it, they die for it, they praise for it, they love for it, they hate for it, they even lie for it. Ridiculous, says you. Truthful, says I. But still, people are always seeking the truth. Well, what is the truth? Pontius Pilate asks. And the Lord didn't answer because it would took several centuries to persuade him. But it's always a battle. And so listen, here we are in Exodus 17 and 19. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out, men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. And so here we have the children of Israel that were led out of Egypt with a strong hand, and it says with an outstretched arm. And they were led out into the wilderness where no men lived. Once in a while they'd run into a few traveling nomads, but not very often. Oh, what a lonesome road that must have been. But it seems then that one time they ran into a very cowardly group of men that came on from behind and struck from behind and killed off all the young and killed off all the weak and the old, looting and causing fear. And it was so easy that they decided to attack the whole tribe of Israel, 3 million. But this time, Israel was not to be surprised. And Moses says, choose us out, men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Here he is now, he's pleading with God. Because why? The body is in trouble. And he's pleading with God, and he's saying, God, with every blow that's struck, let it be double powerful with your assistance. We are told that a great victory was theirs. Why? Because in the time of the trouble, he called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord answered. And it says that the Amalekites were on the run. The Amalekites were condemned to extermination. Listen to what was written. Write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it. And then they nursed it, rehearsed it, and they put it through a horn. Listen to it. And it says, write this for a memorial in a book. Keep a record of this, what I'm saying. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Say it over and over and over and over again in his ears, for I will utterly pull out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Repeat the truth over and over and over to Joshua. Repeat it over and over and over again in his ears until he believes it, until he acts on it. And I'll know that he believes it when he starts to act on it. Now, many times in our walk has God repeated over and over and over something to us that's so basic and so truthful, but we have to hear it over and over, sometimes even from the enemy. Are you hearing this? And so it says that Moses built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It's going on right now. Does that word stand? Yes, it does. Has it always been so? Will it always be so? Yes, it's always been so. Yes, it will always be so. Till the very end of this thing. But does it edify us? Yes. The word always edifies. Never tear down. It never separates. It never says, God told me this when the ministry is getting that. It never does that. Say amen, somebody. Right now, today, I'm fighting for my ministry. And I'll tell you what, I am going to fight tooth and toenail. Say amen, somebody. Because God's in it. So I built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi. And I'll say that again, for he says like this, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation, and it's going on right now. Because it says like this, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our profit. When you read something in the Word of God, and you read something in the Old Testament, which of course was in the natural state, then we take that and we put it into the spiritual state. We no longer war with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness and high and heavenly places. Spirits, principalities, powers. The truth in your ear will set your heart free. What's that song? Well, set my feet a-dancing. Well, first of all, you got to get it in your ear. And when you get it in your ear, you get it down inside of your heart. See, you can hear things, you know, and it's just like you got rotten cotton balls in your ears. You just sort of muffled. You really don't hear it. You got to pull out the cotton balls. Tell the truth. Lord, I am. I'm preaching the truth. No, tell the truth. See, when you read the truth, then you're stuck with it. And the Word of God is a burden. Hey, this is a burden we have to carry. The Word of God is a burden. And you got this truth, and you have to give the truth out. Oh, man, this is a burden. But God, you show me this. There's a whole lot of lying going on in the house of God. of which I am, Paul says, what? The chief. Well, there's a man that heard God. Isn't this a picture then of God's church journeying through the world, the wilderness? Doesn't then Amalek represent the example of our constant, continual, daily fight? Which we're going to have to carry on with the sins inside and outside. And doesn't it also say like this, that Amalek's spirit is, doesn't it show it's at a peak today? The devil's crowd, aren't they attacking Christian leaders and churches and the principles from behind? Aren't they cowardly? See, the battle, when it comes right down to it, is against the truth. And if you start telling the truth, you're going to have a battle on your hands. It's going to cause a battle. Because the battle is against the enemies of the cross. Number one, we'll look at the war itself. Number two, the organized methods of warfare. And I want everybody to sit down now. No going in and out. Say amen. The war, it's got hard blows and it's got hard prayers. Number three, with the Holy Spirit leading, I will stir up God's church. Oh, how we need a stirring up. Sometimes we stir ourselves up. Boy, that causes a stink, don't it, when you get stirred up in the flesh? Whew. Oh, but stir us up to battle and to an out-and-out war with God and for God, with Him. And His truth. And so then let's first look at the warfare, which is typified, I believe, by contrast between the children of Israel and Amalek. And then let's notice that the crusade, the sacred holy war of which I'm going to speak of today, is not with men, but with Satan and with error. Oh, we have so many doctrinal truths and we know how to combat error. But we see, we don't get into the gist of the meat of the thing, got to tell the truth. See, you know what I'm talking about? Tell the truth. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I believe Christian men are not at war with any man on earth. We are at war with infidelity, but we pray for the infidels. We are, I believe, at war with heresy, but we're not at war with the heretics. We're at war with principalities and powers, not men, not people. How many hearing this? And yet we oppose all that oppose God and His truth. And yet we remember what the Bible says, love thine enemies. Do good to them that hate you. The Bible says you'd be hated in the house of your friends. Well, then you just go on loving people anyway. Prove yourself to be friendly. How many hearing this message today? We don't need any gun. We don't need any sword or A-bomb or germ warfare. We're not fighting men. I had a politician come with down at the run last night. He totally did not believe there were hungry people or so on like that. He left totally changed in heart and mind in me. Totally. A lot of times we think people are just rip-offs and we start attacking the people, but when we get next to the people we find out, hey, it's the devil that's ripping them off. We're not fighting men. And the politician thought, well, I'm not fighting these men. I'm fighting this, whatever it is, that's causing all this. We got to do something about it. And it got him going. It made him active, didn't it? No, it says in the Bible, it is with spiritual wickedness in high places. But a lot of times we make war with men, don't we? Doctrinal battles. Even inwardly. Even within the body. People get into doctrinal battles. Well, I believe this, and I, well, according to this, and I, in the original Greek, and they go on and on and on, and then they have a split because they just don't totally agree. Religious controversies. We make remarks about one another. We abuse one another. And God says, just tell the truth, will you? And isn't this then forgetting what Christ's war is all about? We are not fighting against men. We are fighting for men. Woe to the Christian who forgets this. Touch not God's anointed. And, you know, if you say that, but listen, preacher. You're doing the work and God's anointed to do that work. Don't worry about something for you now, sounding prideful, because there's always somebody that's going to be on your case. They have very little respect for what God has got called you to do, none whatsoever. You are a complete nincompoop. Do you agree? Well, if you tell the truth, preacher, you're going to have to walk that narrow, narrow road. Just go ahead and do it. You're going to have the peace of God that remains. But you have no peace outside of that. Touch not people. You can touch the sin, but don't touch the people. Don't fight the churches. Fight the sin that bothers the churches. Don't circle people when they are down, waiting to kill them off. Pray for them. A lot of times in my ministry, and the Lord showed me a long time ago, I was got into this type of ministry I'm in, deliverance ministry and gospel preaching. And he showed me, he says, Paul, don't go down on one knee. They'll circle you with two-by-fours and beat you to death. It's man's instinctive pleasure to see something go down. It is the Colosseum spirit. We all have it. And we'll watch the boxers, and the guy will get up, and his eye is hanging out, and we'll peek in between our hands. Oh, it's awful. And there's a guy, lip and ear hanging off, and he's trying to get up. Get up, you're saying to yourself. Get up, kill the other guy. And the guy's dead on his feet. Get up, you can do it. Huh? And it's the same way a lot of times in the church. Sad to say. See, because our warfare is against sin, and our warfare is against error and darkness. It isn't against people. We are to pity, not to kill. We are to encourage, not destroy folks. When we come home after a day of hard grocery shopping or at work or whatever, and we got blood all over our clothes from warring the world. Boy, did I tell that guy off. I've been waiting to do it for months. We're all blood. I did it. We did it. I don't care if you're going to have a heart attack. That kind of thing. And you get all pent up and twitchy-eyed, nervous. Do you ever get twitchy-eyed and nervous? You know what I mean? When your eyes just start twitching. You try to make it stop and you put your hand over it. And what happens? Because there's no rest there. You don't have a rest. And so you got to let your body get all tuned down and get into it. And the only rest that you can have is... Now, sometimes there's some kind of an affliction where it won't do that. I'm not... If someone has that, you know. But I mean, do you ever get excited like that and you'll get those nervous things that... Preachers, you have nervous fits. What? You claim you don't have them? Well, why are you claiming that? Because you do have them? Isn't that stupid? They have the nervous fit, then they claim, I do not have a nervous fit, I claim I don't have it. Well, hey, who are you trying to convince, me or yourself? Them people just make me nervous. See, but it is, it's telling the truth, isn't it? See, we're not to back off from the devil or the devil's teachers, but we are to love people. Well, how do you love people? Tell them the truth. Tell them that before the grace of God, you could be a whore or a pimp or whatever, a murderer. Tell them that all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. But our war is against spoilers. Spoilers of souls. Not property. I don't care if somebody destroys property. Let them destroy it. They'll just get arrested for it anyway. The world takes care of it. Right? Not against possessions, but spoilers of souls. We are to war for souls. Isn't that our call for the salvation of men? Aren't we called to see men saved? Aren't we called to give the word out? About 8 years ago, I ministered, look out, America, beware of the World Council of Churches. Beware of religious freedom. You lose religious freedom, and I'll tell you, all other freedoms will follow. How can you lose religious freedom? By telling a lie. Well, what's coming? You're going to start to lose religious freedoms. You're already in some states now, you can't have more than 3 or 4 people together. And you can't pull the shades. That's a law in some states and some counties. No gatherings like that. But see, the world is not aware of what they are doing. No, they're not aware because they don't know it, but hell is organizing. Satan is right now, you know, fearful.